Acts chapter 16. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them to the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they came into Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in a night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day we went out to the city, to the riverside, where the prayer was customarily made. We sat down and spoke to the woman who met there, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us." Do you know what God's will is for your life? That's an important question. Many people, well, some people may sit here this morning and say, "Yes, I know what God thing," but maybe you're in a difficult situation at the moment. Maybe you just don't know which way. Maybe you feel like, "I'm not getting any answers. I'm sort of here, I'm praying, I'm not in sin at all, and it's just like, I feel like I don't know what the Lord wants for me. I just don't hear anything. I don't hear that voice of God." But, you know, regarding the will of God, there's some serious confusion, because many people say, "I don't know. I just don't know what the will of God is for me." Then you meet other people and you ask them, you know, "Do you know what God's will is for your life?" And they say, "Yes, I know what God's will is for my life." And they tell you, and as they tell you, you're like, "That is not God's will for your life. I'm pretty sure of it," you know. And so it's interesting, because there are some people who are very strongly convinced this is what God has for them, and it's not truly according to the word, according to what God really has for them. And so the question is, how can I know God's will? I think one of the main areas we have to consider is we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. We have to be in the Word of God. That's the only way we can truly know and discern the will of God. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." That's something that comforts us. I know if I'm a child of God and I'm in His Word and I seek His will with everything that I have, He will lead me. God will not leave you there like all confused in a bundle and like, "Okay, you sort it out for yourself." No, He's a good Father. He will lead us. And sometimes we just need to listen differently. We need to listen carefully. Sometimes we just need to actually obey what God's saying. Because sometimes God said something and we just haven't taken that step of obedience. So God's not going to continue telling us the rest of the journey until we take that step. And we just have to have open ears. But God will direct us. If you seek Him, He will not ignore you. I love what Hebrews 13 verse 5 to 6 says. It says, "He Himself said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" So we're leading Paul in this missionary journey by the Holy Spirit. And so if you are taking notes, I've entitled the study, "Led by the Holy Spirit." And that's what we're going to look at this morning. So the last time we were together, we saw Paul and Barnabas, right? The missionary team. They were back from their first missionary journey. Everything went well. And then they were teaching and preaching there. And then a while later, Paul said, "Well, we got to go back. Those people need us." And then Barnabas said, "That's a great idea." But then Barnabas said, "Let's take John Mark." And there was a big contention, because Paul, remember what happened to John Mark? Remember the whole thing? Paul didn't want to take John Mark. Barnabas was steadfastly deciding he wants to take John Mark. So there were two guys, two brothers in the Lord, who had a serious disagreement, and there was contention in such a way that they actually parted ways. They split up. So Barnabas, he took John Mark and he went east to Cyprus. If you want to maybe put up the map there for us. John Mark, he went across to the island of Cyprus, where his cousin was staying, where they went the same journey they took the first time. And then Paul, he just went up north. He went to Syria and then all the way there to Cilicia. And it's the Bible tells us in Acts 15 verse 41, they were strengthening the churches. So Paul went in one direction and Barnabas went in another direction, and Paul took with him Silas. So that's the last time we left these guys. Both of them, in the will of God, seeking the Father, but not agreeing on something that is not essential. It was a doubtful thing. They didn't agree on this particular issue, so they split ways. And we already said, I think it's because of the Lord. The Lord wanted to sort of broaden the missionary endeavor. He wanted to make it two teams instead of one. And so if you're taking note, the first thing I want to look at there is led in direction. Verse 1 says, then he came to Derbe and Lystra. Now, if you remember where Derbe and Lystra is, it's sort of here on the side, on the right-hand side of the map. This is sort of the end of their previous journey. So they're sort of going the wrong way almost. They're retracing it from the backwards way, and now they're reaching these places, Derbe. If you remember, Derbe was a place that was favorable to ministry the previous time. They were important to realize that they were directed by the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, how? You know, I thought they just had a big contention, and then one guy left and the other guy left. Exactly. You see, they were moving, and as they were moving, it's part of God's plan to take them in different directions to reach more people in that way. You see, sometimes we just, by the normal way that we move and operate, we think, oh, no. But I'm just thinking, the way they probably would have started is just gone back to Cyprus. You know, like the first journey, and then just sort of, but now Paul was like, I'm not going the same way as him. And so he went up and he went north, and that way God moved him in another way. So they came to Derbe and Lystra first of all. So even though Paul and Barnabas, even though their contention did not glorify God in that specific case, right? Imagine God says, I'm never going to use you again if you make a mistake. Then none of us would move anywhere. Because God is gracious in that. The other city there, Lystra. Do you remember what happened in Lystra? That's where first the people worshipped Paul and Barnabas as gods. Then they realized, okay, they're not gods. And then they stoned Paul. They left him on the ash heap outside the city as if killed, you know, as if dead. We don't know if he actually died that day, but they stoned Paul. So that's the last time he went to Lystra. Now Paul's full of excitement, back to Lystra. You know, this guy had such a heart of a missionary. He was out there. And I think I want to tell you something. There's a serious misconception, I think, in the general sort of buzz of Christianity, that if you are going somewhere that is dangerous, that it can't be plan, you know, part of God's plan for your life. It can't be God's direction. If you're going to a place that is life-threatening or dangerous, you know, how can that be God's will for you? And I want to tell you, according to what we see here, if we look at Paul's life, you are never at a better place or a safer place than when you're in the middle of God's will. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are around you. If you are going where God's sending you, where God is taking you, if you've got peace with the Spirit and you are moving in the direction of the Lord, you are never in a better place. You cannot say, I'm in a better place. If God wants me there, I think I'm safer here. No. God will keep you. You will never run out of your time until you have finished the ministry that God has for you. And so, I think, just imagine Paul now. He's coming back to the church that he planted at this stage about 5 years earlier. So it's been there for about a while. He gets there and the church is still going. And I think that is quite encouraging. For anyone who, you know, who's a church planter, who's invested life and ministry and time into someone's life to build up disciples, he's left this church because he had to. Now he's back 5 years later and the church is still going. And I think it's a serious, great encouragement for Paul. Because we know, it's about not just the fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So the fruit should remain. That's God's desire. He doesn't just desire people to get like all excited, like, Lord, oh, I love you. And then a week, a year later, they're not walking with the Lord at all. God's desire is that there will be fruit, that the fruit will continue to grow. There will be a maturing. There will be a glory of God through the fruit. That's his desire. And so Paul is back now, and that's exactly what we see. He went to Derbe and Lystra, and it says, behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. This is the first time we meet Timothy. And I love this young guy. He's a great guy. He loves the Lord. And this is the first time we actually sort of lay ear on him. The previous time Paul went to Lystra on his first visit there, that's probably when Timothy got converted. We're not sure. The Bible doesn't tell us specifically, but he was probably a convert of the Apostle Paul. And so he got saved the previous time. Now Paul gets back and he sees a lot of good things about this Timothy. And he is really excited about Timothy. And we're going to be reading a lot more about him. Then we read there the rest of the verse. A guy named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. So, yet a Jewish mom and a Greek father. And that was a great thing. Now, I just want you to picture what I'm trying to bring across to you this morning, being led by the Spirit, being directed by God as you are being led. Paul would probably not have started this way. Now he goes there and he finds a ministry partner right in the beginning of this new missionary journey, right? God leads him to Timothy. And Timothy is the perfect partner because he's got a Jewish mom and a Greek father, which means he can communicate with the Jewish world and with the Greek world. He's like the greatest guy to take along on a world evangelism tour, right? So God has already prepared this. He prepared him the right partner as he was leading him to bring him to Timothy at that moment. And I love this about the Lord because he's always working behind the scenes. And it says his father was a Greek. The way that it says it, it might indicate that he was not saved. We don't know if his father was saved. But we know that woman who loved the Lord, so she had he had a long line of, the Bible tells us that he grew up in the Scriptures as a child. He was brought up in the Scriptures, so he loved the Word of God. He was the perfect guy that God wanted to send along with Paul. And so verse 2, he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium, which means he had a good testimony. Paul was really, you know, taken with him. He was very excited about him. There's something about taking a young guy along on ministry because, you know, they're full of zeal and energy. It's good to have fresh blood with you. And so I think that's one good thing about taking him. But listen now what happens in verse 3. Paul wanted to have him go on with him. So Paul said, Timothy, you are going with me. We can just imagine from Paul's life. Paul was praying about these things. Paul didn't just do things. We never see that. Paul was praying about things. And so God led him to this young guy, Timothy, full of zeal and energy for the Lord. But once again, I want you to think about the story a little differently in the sense that the last time, just think about Timothy's mom, right? The last time she saw Paul, he was left outside the city, killed just about for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was left on an ash heap. Now Paul comes, says, Timothy, I want you to come with me on a missionary journey. Imagine his mom, like, you want what? You want my, you know, on your missionary journey kind of thing? And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, if you are being led by the Lord, if this is the Lord's moving, I'm sure she didn't feel like that, but I just imagine a lot of moms would feel like that. Like, my kid can't go there, that's just too dangerous, you know. But if this is God's leading for you, if this is God's plan for you, then it is the best place that he can be. So, Timothy, we see, he went along with Paul. Paul's whole desire was he found a guy, you can really see there was a work done in his life. Timothy was alive unto the Lord, and Paul had a heart for discipleship. Paul's heart was never just to come along with me. You know, the best way that you learn is going alongside someone who's been doing the walk a longer time. It's the best way to learn discipleship. And Paul says, Timothy, I'm going to take you with me. You're going to be with me, and I'm going to disciple you as we go along. Very important part of the ministry, because we have to build into the next generation. You know, the next generation is the generation that's going to continue on with his work that the Lord started. And so we want to build into them. That's exactly what Paul was doing here. But now things get a little strange. Look there in the end of the next part of verse 3. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in the region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now you may say, well, just wait a minute. Didn't you just tell us the last 2 weeks we spent speaking about the Jerusalem Council, how they very clearly said, if you're a Gentile, you don't have to come under law, you do not have to be circumcised. And now Paul takes this Gentile, well, half Jew, half Gentile guy, and he circumcises him. And it's almost like, Paul, what are you doing? And like, doesn't make any sense to us if we just read it like very superficially. You see, Paul's heart, you must remember, Paul's heart was never about himself. Paul's heart was about ministry. It was about God's will being done. Paul was being led by the Holy Spirit. And Paul just felt, I don't want anything to stand in the way. I don't want anything to be hindering the ministry. We're going to look at it just now. Paul had such a heart to reach out to people. He didn't want to make a bigger issue out of something that shouldn't be an issue than it already was. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 to 22, Paul says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law as without the law, not being without the law towards God, but under law towards Christ. That I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I love that because Paul's focus was God's will, God's mission, God's work, ministry. He wasn't worried about himself. And so we see this about all these guys. It's sort of a big thing, right? Imagine I say, Kieran, I want you to come in ministry with me about one thing. You just have to snip. You know, there's got to be circumcision. You're like, what? It's like, I didn't realize it's going to be that serious. You know, it's sort of, this is a big thing. I don't know about you, but I think this is quite a big thing. But Timothy just submitted to that because he was the same. He had the same heart as because of salvation. He did not get salvation he did it because of fellowship. You see, what Paul wanted to do is every time Paul had this routine, as he got to a new place, he always gone to the synagogue to speak to the Jews first. So Timothy, being a Jew, because he was legally a Jew, considered from his mother's side, because his mother was a Jew, he's legally considered circumcised, he's going to have an issue every time as they go into the... He doesn't want to make this huge thing about it. And so he said, Timothy, yeah. And the way that he puts it there, he actually said, come here. He actually circumcised him himself. That's sort of the way that the wording is in the Greek there. So Paul circumcised him not for salvation, but for the sake not to hinder the ministry in any way. Because for him it was, how are we going to bring the word across? How are the people going to... We don't want any little thing to come up and sort of stand in the way and upset the people so they don't hear what God wants to say to them. Paul wanted to reach out to the people. And that is the reason why he circumcised him, not for salvation, but for ministry, so he could go into the synagogues. Then verse 4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So, that's the things we spoke about the two previous weeks. Everything that was decided in the Jerusalem council, that there's nothing that a Gentile has to do to come to Jesus Christ. You get saved by the blood of Jesus, by grace, through faith. That's the only way you get saved. Not by keeping any kind of law. You don't have to come under law. You don't have to be circumcised. But then he said there's some necessary things. Remember those necessary things? Necessary things for fellowship. Some things that would seriously offend Jews. And for that reason, rather keep these because we want to be open that these guys may receive the word. But I think it's so cool to me that they were open. You see, they didn't think about their comfort level. And sometimes God may ask you for something that's standing in the way. Something I spoke to you, I think last week, I asked you if there was anything, any liberty that you had that you've given up in your life for someone else. You know what? I had something cut off once. It was a bit different. I think maybe James remembers. You must have seen me like that. Yes. Like many years ago, many moons. And you can't imagine it now, right? But it's sort of, I had my hair when it was, you know. And so there's something as ministry, as the Lord started calling me into ministry, he spoke to my heart, specifically one Sunday, as the pastor was teaching about hair. And I was like, whoa, you know, this is going to stand in my witnessing, in my way of witnessing to other people, of sharing. If I am being called into ministry, my hair is going to be in the way. And so I went home and I said, well, Lord, if that's the way it is, I cut it off. And I cut my hair off and I never had long hair again. The next Sunday I showed up at church and the pastor were like, whoa, you took the Bible study seriously? And I was like... It's like, don't worry, the Lord spoke to my heart, you know. And I realized the same thing. And whatever it may be, maybe there's something. I mean, how many of you would have come to this church if there was a pastor with long hair, you know? I don't think so. It's like a Lord knew the area that he wanted to use me in, right? And so for that reason, God moves ahead of time. And sometimes just God calls you to do something, to lay down something for that reason. But now, as they went on, they delivered all the decrees, everything that the Jerusalem council decided. We see there in verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. That is a beautiful thing. That's a testament you like to hear, that you want to hear. That as they were going on, first of all, the churches were strengthened. You know, they shared good news with them. Like, listen, Jesus Christ is enough. You don't have to do anything else because at every church they visited now, they brought this message from the Jerusalem Council and they shared the gospel with them. Jesus Christ is sufficient. He can save you from all sins. You don't need anything Jesus plus anything else. That's a great thing. And so the church is getting strengthened and we see the number increase daily. And this is also something I want to mention to you because there's also a conception in many people's minds that the smaller a church, the more spiritual it is. Not necessarily. You see, it's God's desire for churches to grow. It's a natural thing that happens as people get into the Word, as the Word starts transforming their lives and their hearts from the inside out, as the Holy Spirit moves, there will be natural growth. If there's no growth, there's something wrong. Right? If you start out as five people and you stay five people, you know, for the next 20 years, then there's something wrong. There should be growth. As people grow, as they grow in the Word, they start sharing the Word starts going to more ears, and people are drawn to the Word of God. That's a natural outflow if the church is strong and being built up in the Word of God. Secondly, if you are taking note, not only led in direction, but led by closed doors. We see there in verse 6. You see that area there is called Phrygia, and as they wanted to go in there, they wanted to go into Asia, so definitely went into Asia. That's sort of, they wanted to bring the Word of God there. And you say, like, what? They were forbidden to bring the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make any sense to you, right? But that's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit forbid them at that stage. And by walking with the Lord, as God's timing is always perfect timing. You cannot have better timing than God. And maybe you feel like, Lord, this is the time now. This must happen now. And maybe God's been stopping you for a reason. Here, He did forbid Paul to go in there. And I think it's quite impressive, once again, Paul's life, considering he was such a strong-willed guy. You know, Paul was just about unstoppable. If he wanted to do something, he didn't. He just went in. But here, the Holy Spirit stopped Paul. The Bible doesn't tell us how the Holy Spirit stopped Paul. We don't know, but we know that he was open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Look there at verse 7. After they'd gone to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So now, as they're moving on, okay, they can't go down into Asia. So now, like, Paul's like, okay, let's go to Bithynia. Let's go north. And once again, the Spirit said, no, Paul, you can't go into Bithynia. And maybe you've been walking with the Lord a while, and maybe there's been a lot of closed doors in your life lately, if you've been praying for them. A lot of things closing up in your face, and you're just like, what's God doing? Like, I'm praying for answers, I'm praying for His direction, for His leading for my life. So what is happening? Because everything seems to be closing. I feel a little like that with the venue situation. Like, everywhere we go, like, the doors close down. But you know what? That's a way for God to direct you. If God just left you, you'd be running into every door that there is. But God, it's a great way. He's directing us like that. Just moving us. But how did the Holy Spirit stop them? The Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe it was by prophecy. We don't know. Maybe there's a prophecy brought. Maybe it's just God speaking to Paul. Maybe it was sickness. Many Bible commentators suggest that this time, you know, Paul must have been sick. And we're going to see a bit later on also why we say that. But sometimes God puts you flat on your back in bed. You're like, Lord, what now? I'm useless to you. And God's like, well, now you can look up. Now you can start hearing what I want to share with you. I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to go there. But the thing I love about Paul is he just kept going, right? He's like, closed door. Okay, let's go this way. Closed door. Okay, let's go this way. He was not demotivated, because we can sometimes, as God closes doors, we're like, oh, Lord, don't you want me to do anything, right? But God's just busy directing you. God's just busy moving you in a specific area. Paul was going to north into Asia, but every attempt is blocked now. Look what happens. Verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. I love this, because God's been blocking doors everywhere. Now Paul goes to Troas, there at the bottom, like, kunk, there's the sea. Because, like, where am I going to go now, Lord? I can't go up, I can't go down, I'm not going back. Now I'm right, and I'm facing the ocean. So, you know, God's really steered him to that place, to Troas. And it's beautiful how God leads. And I want to tell you, as a child of God, that if you pray for, there's a big if there for me. If you pray for God to lead you by open doors and closed doors, God will do that. God will do that. And sometimes the doors close, and that's the way God leads us. God sometimes, I mean, here, God was leading Paul and Silas and Timothy by hindrances. They were hindered, and that's the way God was leading them. But for us Christians, hindrances feel like there's something wrong in our life. Feels like, you know, a lot of these prosperity gospel people, they tell you there's something wrong with your life. If things don't go smooth, it's just not everything just right. But sometimes God uses hindrances to move us. It's sort of like, no, 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 yes. And the thing I love about Paul, he was just going. He just kept moving. If Paul just went and sat down and said, ha, Lord, I don't know anymore. You told me I can't go there. You told me I can't go there. I'm just going to stay here. Then God can't really move him. As long as you are moving, you are a child of God, you are moving in the Spirit, and sensitive to where the Lord closes doors, God will lead you in the right direction. Now he brought him to Troas. I love this verse in Isaiah 30 verse 21. It says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whether you turn to the left hand. And sometimes it's not about my plan, it's about the leading of the Holy Spirit. We see David Livingstone, for instance, he wanted to go to China, God sent him to Africa. William Carey, he wanted to go to Polynesia, God sent him to India. You know, I just think about my own life. I wanted to go to Bible school, I wanted to become a missionary. God stopped me, God stopped me to get a form which he knows the best. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Also, these are the daughters of God. If you are being led by God's Spirit, then you are His child. That's what God desires for us. And so, the thing I want to tell you is watch out. Because a lot of people said, they just operate by this open and close instance. Close the doors, then God will help you. But if you're just one of those people who are just walking along like, hey, there's an open door. Maybe that's what God wants. And you just go. Without checking with the Lord, without asking Him, you can be going wrong. If there's a closed door, we sometimes try to break it down. Like, Lord, I want to go down. It makes logical sense to me to go. These people haven't heard the word of God. And we like kick down the door. Then you're going against the will of God sometimes, you know. I just want to tell you that don't just take open and closed doors as God's direction if you're not praying about it. I've met many people like that. And they just say, well, you know, I sort of think this is where the Spirit wants me to be because this door is just open. And I'm just thinking, like, have you prayed about it? Have you asked the Lord about it? That's sort of important, right? It's important to speak to God, not just to go, because it may seem like a great opportunity, but sometimes it may not. So pray that God may open the right doors and close the other doors. Be Spirit-led. Don't be feelings-led or desire-led in that sense. If you are taking note number 3 there, we see led by a vision. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, I love this because Paul was following the leading of the Lord. Because he didn't force his way into doors that God closed. God took him all the way to the coast. As he gets to the coast, he's like, Lord, what now? There at the coast, the Lord gives him a vision. It reminds you of Abraham's life, right? That's the way God oftentimes works. God doesn't always work the same, but oftentimes God will never, He won't give you the whole roadmap until that's everything I want you to do for the rest of your life or for the next month. God oftentimes gives you a step. And if you are obedient in the step, when you get there, He's going to reveal to you the next step. So the same thing here. He gets it. And I think a vision is obviously some way that God can direct people in ministry. God's not limited to the means that He can use. We've seen that God oftentimes in Scripture spoke to people by visions. I think, again, it is important that we are being led by the Spirit, that we test whatever we see in dreams or in visions against the Word of God. That's always important. For me, I'm one of those people, I don't like moving in any direction unless God, if God spoke to me, I want confirmation. If someone comes to me and says, this is what God has laid on my heart for you, I'm like, okay, that's great, but I want Him to speak to me. So I would go to the Word, I would go ask Him for confirmation. If I've got the Scripture, if I've got the confirmation, I can go boldly. I can boldly just follow where God wants me to be. And so I think it's important for us to make sure that God confirms it. I'm not speaking about fleeces, you know. Fleeces is something a bit differently. That sort of fleeces are sort of controlled by our desires sometimes. It's sort of like, I want to do something. And it's like God sort of saying to me, no, I don't really want you to do it. And then we go like, well, Lord, you know, if you don't want me to do it, let there be a man this tomorrow morning with a gorilla suit selling bananas at this market, you know, whatever. And you're like, okay, the odds are sort of, you are pushing, stacking the odds so you can sort of move in the direction that you want to move. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact is if God speaks to you, if He gives you a dream or a vision or something subjective like that, it's not just straight from the Word of God, then ask Him for Scripture. In this instance, it worked a bit differently with Paul because God was clearly closing the doors. Now he got to the sea. We can just imagine Paul was praying the whole time. Like, Lord, where do you want me to go? Whoop, the Lord gives him this vision of the guy in Macedonia. So Paul didn't need anything more than that. He was just like, I'm going, right? He was very excited. I think it can be dangerous if we are led by emotional experiences or by our own desires. There's always a fine line. Like, how much is my desire, purely my desire? How much is God's will? And I think that's something that we have to, that's why I say sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And there's maybe an indicator. Maybe you're one of those people. It's something only you can answer for yourself. But if you look at your track record, right? How many times have you gone and like, okay, this is God's will for me, and it wasn't God's will? Then maybe say it's good to ask. And you know what? God gives us scripture. Everything that I do, I ask the Lord for scripture, because then when the dark days come, when the doubt and the confusion comes from the enemy, then you've got your verse to stand on. Like, Lord, when I prayed, you gave me this, and this is the verse, and I'm going to stand on this verse. It's the verse you gave me. I mean, when God called me into the ministry to be a pastor, He gave me scripture that I have until this day. It's stuck up in my office. Every time the enemy comes and says, you're not a pastor, you're like, you're just nothing. And I'm like, that's the scripture that the Lord called me with. You know, that's something that I hold on to. God confirmed it through brothers that I greatly respect in the church that laid hands on me and sent me out. So that was important for me in that sense, just to know what is God's will. And the only way we can know it is by being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But look then, verse 10. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So immediately, I always love the kind of words in the Bible when God speaks and then someone goes immediately. I love that kind of thing. I spoke to you about it before. Rapid obedience, that is my prayer. Every time as I go to the Lord, I'm like, Lord, give me open ears. So first of all, I can hear. And secondly, give me that rapid obedience. So I can just, as soon as you speak, I can just do. Imagine how effective God's work can be if every Christian just know when God speaks and they move exactly when God speaks. Like, just think about anything, like a sports game, you know, or anything. Timing is so essential. And if God says to you, go, and you're like, oh, well, Lord, I don't know, you know, if I'm hearing correctly. Sometimes we are a bit stubborn. Sometimes we're just not hearing at all. But it's important to be going immediately, to have that rapid obedience. The other thing I see there in that verse is, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Now, interesting. Who's the author of the book of Acts? Luke, right? The physician, the doctor. Now Luke is including himself. From this moment, Luke is a participant with Paul. He is going along with Paul on his journey. He is in the story from now, and we see that personal pronoun, we. And once again, I think that is something that as Paul set out on his journey, he's just like, I'm not going with Barnabas, you know. But God was directing it. First, God brought him to Timothy. And then, we don't know if he was sick there. You know, we don't know what happened. But then, he brought him to Troas and he met Luke. Luke, for continent. God said, no, I want to give you a whole new continent. I want to give you Europe. You know, the whole of Europe on that side. The whole of Macedonia. Paul, I want to give you the whole new thing. I want to give you a personal doctor. I want to give you ministry companions to go alongside of you. So this is all part of just being led by God's Spirit. You see, God adds all these things. And sometimes we've got the idea there's only one way that I can go that is right. It's like, if I don't go there, it's not right. Sometimes it may be like that. But most oftentimes, God actually says, you know what? Just choose. Where do you want to go? That way, that way. If you want to go that way, I'll bless you in a certain way. If you want to go that way, I'll bless you a certain way. God is with His children. He's going to steer you. So some people are so afraid to make a wrong move that they just go sit down and it's like they cease. They're like, I don't know where to go anymore. Just start moving. If you're a child of God, God is going to pick you up. He's going to direct you and move you in the right direction. The third thing I see in that verse there is He said, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. I love that. That's their conclusion. The guy from Macedonia says, help me. He says, well, that means God wants us to take the gospel there. A lot of people today would say, well, that means we should take food. We should take water. We should take supplies. We should take whatever. I tell you, those things are all good things. But if you don't take the gospel, it doesn't help. The gospel is the only thing that can transform a person. It's the only thing that can change your spiritual life. It can change eternity for you. And so I'm not opposed to anything. Christians should be helping. We should be lending a helping hand. We should be giving people water and food and all those necessary things. But that should be supplementing or just beside the gospel. The gospel should be the main thing. As Paul heard this guy cry out for help, he said, that I conclude we should bring the gospel to them, because the gospel is what changes people's lives. Number four, if you are taking note, not just led in those things, but led in circumstances, from verse 11. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and next day came to Neapolis. So, we see things were going pretty smooth at this stage. They just going straight. The winds were perfect for them. They just sailed across the Aegean. Perfect winds. They sailed like 250 kilometers in that time, in 2 days' time. Where we see a bit later in Acts 20 verse 6, it took them 5 days to do the same journey. Right? So this was like the winds were with them. They were just moving. But on that point, also something I want to say. Many people figure like if everything is just going smooth, the smooth sailing, then God is with you this chapter. What's going to happen is we're going to see Paul and Silas in jail. They're going to be chained for the word of God. And so if your reasoning it always goes well with you and God is with you, then what happened to them there? They were still in the perfect plan of God. We're going to see He used their lives to bring a jailer and all these people to Christ. God's always in control. So don't just think if the wind's blowing with you that things are going right. But it doesn't always work that way. But for here, we see that the circumstance was great. But don't just look at the circumstances. Once again, if we just look at the circumstances around us and trying to determine if we are in God's will, we can oftentimes be wrong. Because circumstances affect our emotions, they affect our feelings, they affect our desires. And you may be sitting there in a jail cell and thinking like, this can't be God's will for me. This doesn't feel like it, right? God doesn't want to lead us by feelings. He wants to lead us by the Spirit because He is the one who sees behind the skin. He sees down deep where it matters. And so, praise God, at this moment, they were running a straight course and the winds were with them. Verse 12, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. So now God takes them to this big city, Philippi. You know? And I think it's a great thing to start sharing the gospel. Paul always, as he planted churches, he did it in the big cities because much easier for the stuff to flow over into the countryside than to start something in the countryside and have it infiltrate the city. It's much better. So Paul always, when he started churches, it was sort of like big cities. And here he is once again in this city, Philippi, in Europe, a whole different culture. Greek, you know, everything is different than where he came from. It's not Asia, it is totally different. God gives him now a new opportunity, a new continent. It's actually quite exciting. It says a foremost city. They were staying in that city for some days. And we think like, okay, so they just arrived there. They didn't do anything for those couple of days. You know, they just stayed there for some days. Why? Because Paul had his routine. On the Sabbath, he wanted to go first to the Jews, and then after that, he would go to the Gentiles. Now, look what happens. The fact that they went to the riverside means there was not a synagogue. The fact that there was not a synagogue tells us there weren't even 10 Jewish males in that area. Because as soon as there's 10 adult Jewish males together, a synagogue is formed in a place. And so they would meet together as a synagogue. So there weren't 10 adult Jewish males, and so then the people would meet by the river. That's the way that they did it. So now they went down to the riverside. Obviously not a lot of guys around. And it says there, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. So obviously there weren't any Jewish guys around, right? There were these women there sitting by the riverside, faithful Jewish women who sort of, you know, loved the word of the Lord, and they were getting together at this riverside. And this is the people that they spoke to. They got together with the women. And I want to say this also clearly. It's not wrong for a guy to speak to women, right? There was a reason why we said on the beach outreach that we prefer guys not minister to girls because, I mean, if you're standing on the beach and the girl's got a bikini on, your mind might not be on the word of God, the gospel, right? So there are circumstances where we feel it's just beneficial for you to not guys share with girls and girls with guys. But it's not wrong. Paul went here, they went down, there were only women there and they shared with the women. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just in this instance is how it worked out. And so they started speaking to the women. And then verse 14, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. So here we meet Lydia, a great, outstanding woman. She was a seller of purple. That was something that was, it was a very royal kind of thing. Only the royalty really wore the purple stuff. And so it's a luxury product, highly regarded, and the dyes for making purple was very expensive. So this means she was an affluent woman. She had money. She had like the kind of job that many people would have. She was dealing in something that was expensive. She made clothes for the royal people and so on with the purple. And so this kind of woman, they meet her there, the seller of purple. But it says she came from Thyatira and she worshipped God, which means she had a true heart for God. She was a seeker that wanted to please the true and living God. Then it says, the Lord opened. That's why we had such a huge prayer meeting, a month of prayer before we did the outreach, because that's how the work is done. We have to pray. It's only God who can open someone's heart. You know, I can share and I can give you the best facts and the best, I can give you the best reasoning. It cannot change your mind like the gospel can through the word of God being applied by the Holy Spirit. It's only depend upon the Lord, but the Lord opened her heart. The good news, she could understand it. John 6:44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And so as we are praying for family members, as we are praying for friends and the people that we spoke to, pray this for them, that God may remove that veil of lies and deceit. That means she understood who Jesus is. She believed in him that moment. Then we read there in the next verse, verse 15. And she and her household were baptized. Wow. That's always the next step, right? Throughout the book of Acts, throughout the Bible, everywhere you see, as soon as someone believed, as soon as someone met the Lord, the next step for the believer is to then get baptized. Believer's baptism. And so, it's not even, it's just so flowing here. She's like, I'm saved, I love the Lord, and the next thing, she got baptized. Then, the rest of that verse, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful, meaning, if you have judged me that I truly am saved, if you judge me that this is a true work of God in my life, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. I also find that cool because as soon as the Lord did a work in her heart, as soon as she was saved, as soon as she was baptized, now she started doing good things. She was like, just like, okay, I'm open for these guys. God gave her the gift of hospitality. She's like, coming over. You know, she's obviously a person who had a lot, more than most people, and so she invited them over. Come to my house. Come and stay. And this Lydia, she was an amazing woman because immediately she went about doing good and she had a business. She still had a business. Ladies, I want you to take note of this. It's not wrong for a woman or a lady to have a business at all. If you look at the Proverbs 31 woman, right? That's sort of the woman like, some girls go like, ah, don't tell me about her, but the Proverbs 31 girl is great, right? She is awesome. She does all these things. But something I want to tell you, that God wants a woman to be as creative and as enterprising as she can possibly be, as long as it never affects her responsibility to her husband and to her home. On that, go on, go crazy, you know, be creative. If you look at the girl in Proverbs 31, you know, she was doing all these things. She was making and selling and doing all these things. But first of all, she provided for a household. That's like my first calling is to my family. My wife's first calling is to me and to the kids. That's the way that God designed it to be. So if it doesn't get in the way of that, then please, you know, don't feel that you can't do that. But oftentimes what we find is, you know, if you get drawn into business, some people just can't do that because that becomes their focus and the family just sort of falls behind them. And so, I don't know, pray about it. If you can do both, that's wonderful. You know, pray to God that he may make you a Proverbs 31 woman. It is possible. That's God's desire for every woman out there, I believe. And so if we look at this piece of scripture here this morning, just these couple of things. Keys to knowing God's will. First of all, be sensitive to God's spirit, right? To have that sensitivity that God can move you, to be flexible. And as I say that, I have to tell you something. A couple of weeks ago, I was not here. I was teaching for Mike in Paul. And I had this whole teaching prepared for the guys in Paul. And I was really excited. And next morning as I woke up, the Lord just started giving me all this stuff. And I'm like, Lord, I thought it was just a Christmas message. I was so excited. Like, yes, Lord. And so I sat down and I typed everything down. But the Lord's just been sharing so much with me. And after a while, I'm like, I got out of the shower. And I'm like, why is the Lord giving me all this stuff now? Right before church. It doesn't make sense. The Lord said to me, I want you to teach this to Paul this morning. I'm like, no. Like, no, that is crazy. I've never done that. You know, I'm not Charles Spurgeon or someone who can, you know, I felt like, no, this is just weird, you know. And as I was sort of struggling with the Lord, I said to him, Lord, if this is really what you want me to do, then speak to me on my devotions now and tell me about it. And then the Lord spoke to him on my devotions. He gave me the exact same piece of scripture that he shared with me earlier on was part of my devotions that morning. And I was just like, okay. And I was just having sort of a hard time with it. I was like, Lord, I feel unprepared. I can't just go speak to people if I haven't, you know, sat down all these hours into it and prepared for it. And I was like, I'm going to teach them about being flexible to the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said, well, there you go. Be flexible to the Holy Spirit. You know, I arrived at church, I still had to put on my shoes. And And the Lord used it. The Lord used it amazingly. And it's the first time that I actually taught like that just at that moment. But I thought, how can I teach people to be flexible to the Holy Spirit, you know, if I don't do it? That's what God wants us to be. If He wants to upset your little thing that you've got planned, then just be open for that, because there is a blessing. You know, after this fulfilled, Romans 12 verse 1 to 2, Paul says, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You see, if we present ourselves to God as holy, as usable to Him, and we are open to hear His voice, then God can do great things through us. Then God can steer us and move us how He wants to move us. The other thing there, and all these other things will be added to you. Doesn't help saying like, Lord, I want to know what your will is, but Lord, I don't want to really know what your will is, because I want to seek my will. No, if you seek God's will, He will lead you. And so my prayer for us is we may have open ears to discern and to hear the voice of God. But the last thing is, how do we know? How do you recognize the voice of God? I want to tell you, example from 1 Kings 19, verse 11 to 12. As Elijah was running away and he was hiding in a cave, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. That's how God chose to speak to Elijah. Sometimes we think if God speaks to us, it has to be earth-shattering. Rocks have to be breaking. It must be fire. And these things must be like, this all emotional thing that we must experience so we know this is what God's saying. You know what? God wants to cultivate in us a heart that becomes sensitive to that still small voice that He speaks to us about. Sometimes as you are just busy with whatever you are busy, God's still small voice speaks to you. And if you are too busy, you're not going to hear that voice. That's why the Bible tells us to be walking in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. Because if we are the whole time seeking the Lord's will in the Spirit, then we are open to hear that still small voice as He speaks to us. And then we can just take that step at the right moment. And it's amazing if you are open at the right moment to take that step, how God can use it. If you just add that 7 verse 14 that we read this morning, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.